This message was shared from the pulpit at Good News Baptist Church in Chesapeake, Virginia. For more information, visit us online at goodnewsbaptist.org.
Things that used to be a lot clearer in our society, because we are not tethered to Scripture, there's not a basic fear of God, understanding of His Word. This nation lacks clarity in a lot of ways. And you know that. We shouldn't have to stand and express concern because our nation doesn't seem to be concerned about Israel. And I know that that's what we hear in the media, and along with the rest of the foolishness. But God still holds to those who bless Israel will be blessed. And God says those who curse Israel will be what? Yeah. We are already ripe for judgment in this nation. We don't need further to make our God angry. But you know, when God establishes institutions, home, government, of course the authority of the local church, that authority comes from Him, and God also says those who don't support the authority He established, they're going to reap chastening and judgment as well. And of course, that is what is taught to us in Romans chapter 13. And I just want to remind us of the basis for that. Verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves, and that word in our King James Bible means judgment, damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister, the diakonos, of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God. Is it ever important when God repeats himself? Absolutely. He's a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. And so that's the basis. We have several police officers in our church. We've got retired law enforcement in our church. And we have two police chaplains. I am a chaplain with the city of Chesapeake. And of course, Brian Boyd with the city of Portsmouth. And so we love those in law enforcement. We have had a unique opportunity to minister here to those in law enforcement. And we'll get back to special Sundays where we bring in all the first responders we can to minister to them. COVID changed a few things, but we need to get back to doing that. The point is that along with law enforcement being God's deacons in government to protect and serve society, along with that, we noted last time that they are also a needy harvest field. That's one of the reasons I'm so thankful for the Clay Seamsters and the Mike Blackburns and the Jerry Fowlers, and we've got others who are serving actually as officers, and the testimonies that they are. But you, as you're out in the community, you can be a wonderful encouragement and testimony for Christ as well. They're there. They need your support. They need your encouragement. But you know, God wants to use you to help turn them to Jesus too. And so we started to look at, these are things that the Lord has taught me over 26 years of working with law enforcement. their greatest needs. And I shared with you, this is also a piece that I wrote for a national magazine where I was asked to write about the church and law enforcement. This article hasn't been released yet in the magazine, but you're getting it ahead of time, okay? And so what are the greatest needs of those in law enforcement? And I mentioned last time, first, evangelism, because many officers are spiritually condemned. Many don't know the Lord. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. And then we noted that they need enlightenment because officers are divinely called. In other words, one of the ways that you can open the door to encourage and perhaps even evangelize is to help an officer understand from Romans 13, places like Titus, where we're told to pray for all those that are in authority. And you can take them to Romans 13 and say, I thank God for you. Did you know you are called by God to do what you're doing? And we support you. We thank God for you. We pray for you. They don't hear that much. Now, they do hear it. And I'm regularly encouraged when I am on patrol with them how often we will hear encouraging things. But we also hear a lot of the other. And I feel like turning the message over to Mike Blackburn right now. He could wax eloquent. You know, you pulled me over because. Blah, 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 you know. And because of all the nonsense that's being taught in public schools and in education and through the sound waves, there are a lot of people out there that just assume because you're one color, you're opposed to anybody of another color. And officers get that thrown in their face all the time. You stopped me because. No, I stopped you because my radar went off and you were going really fast. Okay. And so they need to be enlightened. They need to be encouraged from the Word of God. And I mentioned last time, you can even write a kind note when you hear that an officer has had to use his service weapon in the line of duty to stop someone who is committed to hurting others or his own family. And when you hear about that in the news, and you will hear about it in the news, just write a note. You can show up at a police station and say, can I speak to a supervisor, or is the chief here? In big cities like Chesapeake, you're probably not going to get to see the chief, but can I speak to a supervisor? They'll have them come out and just say, I want you to know. And I go to Good News Baptist Church. My pastor is one of your chaplains. But we pray for you all. We heard about this, whatever city you live in. And here's a note. And you can read it ahead if you want to, but would you get this to this officer that was involved in this situation, whatever it is, and just we want them to know that we care about them, we're praying for them, and I want to be an encouragement. I'm telling you, that note's going to get where it needs to get. I don't know how many times I walk into our precinct, which is within walking distance of here, and I see on our bulletin board cards from kids and thank you notes from citizens, and they appreciate that. All right. But make it biblical. Let them know this is why we support you. Thirdly, they need encouragement because officers are often unjustly criticized. I want you to think with me tonight. As social norms deteriorate in America, police officers are severely criticized in their efforts to maintain order. And they've lost much of the respect that was once common. Growing up, and I'm not that old, all right? I would not have thought of talking back to a police officer. In fact, I was raised, you just don't talk back to authority. But the lack of respect for authority and everybody being so focused on their rights instead of their responsibilities has made what our officers do very difficult and very dangerous. This has contributed, all of these things, other factors, to modern policing being extremely difficult. Let me just share this with you, and this is from an article that came out back in 2021 from the Heritage Foundation. Two authors that wrote a piece, Policing in America, Lessons from the Past, Opportunities for the Future. But here's what they have said. Violent crime rates have increased in many major cities. Immigration concerns have grown more complex. Throughout, agency budgets have tightened. At the same time, hostile narratives have emerged in mainstream and social media, which encourage antipathy towards police and paint law enforcement, American law enforcement, as systematically racist. The result is that the police have few allies. City officials have often been quick to give in to political pressure, blaming officers and calling for prosecutions before investigations are complete or facts are known. Fearing for their careers and reputations, many police officers are hesitating or ceasing to engage in discretionary enforcement activities. We call that being proactive. They're hesitant. Although this is not common to all departments, some are leaving the force altogether, while potential recruits are opting not to join, contributing to staffing shortfalls. Compounding the problem is the fact that there are bad cops who make wrong, sometimes terrible decisions. And so again, caring Christians in a community can be used to encourage God's ministers in law enforcement and to counter the culture's toxic attitude towards police. Now, let me close tonight with a final way that you can be a help, because this is a critical need that officers have. They need biblical explanation because officers are emotionally crushed. Biblical explanation. Do you know that God does have answers for post-traumatic stress? I shared some testimony last week, and I'm going to close with more detail of that testimony. But I rejoice tonight that in our trauma reboot biblical counseling group that's meeting over in another part of our facilities, that is being led tonight by a police officer, retired police officer, who got saved here 2 years ago. But what brought him to Christ was the Word of God being applied to the trauma that he had experienced in his career. And every day, this is no exaggeration, I get texts from Terry saying, I just rejoice. I'm a child of God. The Holy Spirit lives in me. I've been delivered. That's what I hear all the time from him, because it's true. And he continues to absorb the Word of God. And so, crush. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, police work has often been accurately described as hours and hours of boredom interrupted by moments of sheer terror. A couple years ago, I was not far from here. In fact, I was sitting in the YMCA parking lot one evening with an officer, and he looked at me, and we knew each other, and he said, I'm getting out. I said, you're getting out? You're a great cop. What are you doing? He said, I'm tired of the constant drip. It's just constant. And then all of a sudden, the floodgates open. He said, and this was a Gulf War veteran. He says, I'm done. The fact that officers must interact with those most volatile and vulnerable in society places them at higher risk for suicide and depression. Did you know that on average, police officers will witness 188 critical incidents during their careers? Their exposure to horrific accidents can lead to multiple mental health issues that often go untreated. For example, the rates for post-traumatic stress and depression among police officers is 5 times higher than that of the civilian population. Okay? And statistics do bear that out. In 2019 alone, 228 police officers took their own lives in our country. By comparison, there were 132 line of duty deaths the same year. All right? So 228 took their lives, 132 died in the line of duty. Police suicides in 2019 were almost double that of the previous year. Of course, we remember then what happened with COVID when all the foolishness was happening and they were burning down cities and burning up police stations, and it was labeled as free expression. I label it spiritual blindness. Now, the extraordinary stress on law enforcement personnel must be met by Christians, including law enforcement chaplains, who can rightly divide the truth of God's word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. I'm so thankful I can share with officers those wonderful truths. If you know the truth, it'll set you free. And God will give perfect peace to those who keep their mind stayed on Him. And by the way, there are a number of warriors in the Bible who walked with God and their lives were stable. And you can think of some, especially if you're reading through the Bible and you just finished up the book of Joshua. Think about the life Joshua had. In 2 Timothy 2:15, the word translated rightly divided is a word that means to cut a straight line, to cut a straight road. The metaphor could be that of plowing a straight furrow or of a road maker driving his road straight, right? Planning and making a straight road. So if an officer is struggling emotionally, a caring Christian, any of you, if you know your Bible, if you know how to accurately exposit, explain God's word, you can cut a straight path to the biblical answer that officer, he or she, needs. Brother Mike is here tonight, but it was a few years ago, he'll remember this, he sent me an email about a fellow officer in his department that was contemplating suicide. Remember that, Mike? I responded immediately, knowing that the man's life was in danger. God has strategically placed him where he was. And he and I both knew that this man's occupation made him especially vulnerable. I'm so thankful that Brother Blackburn knows the Lord. He's a student of Scripture. He took the material, shared it with his colleague. The literature explained God's perspective on suicide, offered hope. Not only did biblical truth change the man's thinking, but if I remember right, Brother Mike, you were able to lead this man to the Lord. He needed Jesus. And so I want to close tonight talking about Brother Terry. And he knows I share this testimony. His 28-year career started badly and ended badly. It started badly, and every officer gets out of the academy and then spends time with an FTO, a field training officer, before they're released to be on their own on the street. Shortly after Brother Terry was released, one of the first calls he was on is a young boy found his dad's shotgun in a closet, thought it was a toy, and turned it on his younger sister. Terry was the first officer on scene. And for the time it took for EMTs to get there, Terry did chest compressions on that little life to try to save it and couldn't. That's how it started. Now, God is working, and this is why you need to be witnessing. If God prompts you, or if you have an opportunity to encourage, please encourage. And so, 28 years later, towards the end of his career, God had put us together. We had ridden together a couple of times, had started a friendship. Didn't know each other real well. And one day over in, I believe he was in Deep Creek, Terry was riding his motorcycle and somebody, we don't know who it was, we don't know if it was on purpose, somebody ran him off the road. When he went off the road, two cars in front of him, there was a woman driving the car who's a nurse. She looked in her rear view mirror and she sees a guy going through the air in his motorcycle. She stops, and as God would have it, guess what? That nurse was Terry's sister-in-law. Had no idea he was back. She worked on him, spared his life till, again, they got him to a hospital. That was the first time I got to meet Terry Hannah and Terry's folks because I ran up there to see one of our officers. And something at that time clicked between us. I believe it was the Lord working. Well, so we rode together several times and had lots of theological discussions because Terry was convinced he was saved, and he wasn't. But I'll be honest, he had me convinced he was saved, okay? And then one evening, it was a Saturday night, it's like 11:30, and let me just let you see behind the scenes. Your pastor on a Saturday night at 11:30, he's thinking about one thing. What do you think that is? It's not even Sunday morning. It's sleep because Sunday morning's coming, all right? So I'm hoping I can get to, and the phone rings. Well, I look down, and I had Terry's number in my phone. And Terry said this to me. He said, I'm working an accident scene over in the Greenbrier area. He said, we've just had a man hit by a drunk driver, and he was killed instantly. He said, but here's the problem. When I reached in his pocket to pull his ID, I opened the wallet to a Chesapeake badge. And my heart sank. Then Terry said this, I don't know the officer. Said, but we know where his now widow and the family live, and I need you. He said, I want you to help me make this notification. So I said, all right, come get me. He said, I'll be there as soon as we're done here. An hour later, a police car pulled up in front of our house. I jumped in. So now we're someplace close to 1 o'clock. And not far from here, that night, Terry and I knocked on a door, and a young widow, she didn't know it, but as soon as she saw the two of us, she wondered, came to the door, and as I'm making the notification, a 19-year-old son walks out of the back bedroom. I didn't know he was there. So I had to tell him. Well, that happened. We went our separate ways. It was a short time later, we were on patrol together, and Terry pulled off in a parking lot. And I'm sharing this not to be sensational. I'm sharing this because you need to know what these officers face. It was a Home Depot parking lot on the other side of Chesapeake. He pulled off and started to sob in the police car. I'm riding with the sergeant. I'm riding with the supervisor. I said, Terry, what is going on? How can I help? Here's what he said. Remember that notification the other night? I said, do I remember? He said, when I opened that wallet and I saw a Chesapeake badge, something snapped. He said, I'm struggling. Well, we started to meet regularly. We started to, I would take him to the scriptures. We'd play golf together. We were doing these things. And then as you heard him share in his testimony, we had played golf and we were sitting in a Mexican restaurant. And I said, so Terry, tell me again how you got saved. And he made something up. He said it was one of the worst days of his life. I just wanted to hear how he got saved. And the Holy Spirit smote his heart because he knew he wasn't. And through the couple's retreat where we were down at the Outer Banks and he heard the speaker there, Scott Pauley, and then Ron Comfort, remember Friend Day? Ron Comfort gave the invitation and Terry knelt back by the pew and prayed to receive Christ. But the rascal didn't tell me. He didn't have to tell me. So our next evangelistic meeting, Rich Tozier is here and we're out playing golf. And by the way, you can watch me play golf and know I don't play often. Okay, let's leave it at that. So we're all playing golf, and Terry starts telling Rich his testimony, how he knelt and came to Christ. He got, and I'm like, what? I had no idea. Well, you know the rest of the story. It wasn't long after that he asked if he could be baptized. Hannah already knew the Lord. She was baptized that morning as well. And he has been a powerful witness. In fact, we don't have much happen here where he's not inviting. He can do this because he's retired. He's inviting officers to come and be a part of what the service is here and so on. He's got inroads that I don't have. All right. So I close with all of that to say this. As we finish up tonight, do you know that your interaction is essential? As a servant of Jesus Christ, you can so encourage these officers, male and female, who wear a police badge. As we do God's work, we're on the same team. You allow me to minister, and I get to be on the front lines. But you can be a great blessing as well. Also remember that intercession is a must. Remember that every time you hear a siren, you should do what? You need to pray. You need to pray. I live in Portsmouth. I do a lot of praying. Okay. But there is a thin blue line, men and women who are maintaining a fragile peace in our nation. Don't take for granted that at night when you're sleeping, it's quiet out there. There's a reason it's quiet out there. Because Romans 13 says the weapons that they carry are a reminder. If you act up, we can respond. And if you're a threat to somebody else, we can cause retribution for that behavior. And so they need, every first responder knows what mutual aid is. And I would just submit to you that our law enforcement and our other first responders need the mutual aid of the Church of Jesus Christ to encourage them in what God has called them to do. One of the benefits of us having these first responder services is so that you can interact and get to know them, okay, and they can get to know you. Don't they're ordinary people called to do an extraordinary job. So be there to encourage them. Let's stand together. Father, thank you for the men and women in law enforcement in this country. The thin blue line is being stretched and stretched and stretched. It's not an excuse, but many times, Lord, you know when they act out, it's because they've been pushed over the line. God, tonight, I pray in this city and the neighboring cities that, Father, you would protect the men and women in law enforcement along with all of our other first responders. Lord, they have split seconds to make life-changing decisions. So give them wisdom. And Lord, just as you go with your other ministers, tonight I pray that you would send your angels to be a protection and a help to officers. And Lord, protect their families as well. Spare their families. Father, strengthen marriages. Protect their kids. And Lord, use us in that part of the harvest field to encourage. And would you help us to see more come to know you as Savior. Give us safety as we head to our homes tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you have questions about your relationship with God, or you would like to know more about the ministry of Good News Baptist Church, you can visit us online at goodnewsbaptist.org or call us at 757-488-3241. We trust your heart was challenged as you listened, and we want to encourage you to share this message with others. May the truth of God's word be your guide as you strive to follow Christ and make him known to others.